Some breaking news at the NFL world. First quarterback benched. Did anybody have Jacoby Brissett on their money line?
Good for them. Good for them, man. I give the Patriots a lot of credit for that, man. That guy stinks.
They said that it should be Drake May starting against the Houston Texans this week.
Way to throw him to the fire. Good Lord.
I mean,
I don't know if Drake May's any better, fellas. Buddies. I don't know.
I feel like the confidence boost would have been against Miami.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the game you play Drake May in.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
The next quarterback benched will be?
I think it's got to be the guy in
Cleveland?
Oakland.
Oh.
L.A., Vegas, wherever they play these days.
Well, they bench Minshew.
A permanent bench.
Yeah, that's what Alex said. It doesn't count if you get benched in a game.
Right.
You have to start.
When they come out to the media and they announce, you know, that so-and-so's been benched. I think Gardner Minshew is the guy that gets benched next, followed by
Watson.
Has to be. But
I mean, he makes
money, bro. Like, buddy, the money is what sways everything, mm-hmm. right? They're paying him a guaranteed $230 million. You got to think somewhere Cleveland is hoping for an injury settlement. At this point in time, the best they can do is an injury settlement with Deshaun Watson.
It is 9:00 on a Monday. We go to our buddy, Chiefs contributor Josh Briscoe. Mr. Briscoe, how are you on this lovely Monday morning? Not there? Oh, never mind. Technical difficulties.
All right, we'll get him.
I'm actually doing good, Dusty. Thank you very much for having me on the show today. I'm really excited for the Royals and the Chiefs. Should be a good game today. I think the Chiefs win. I think the Royals win. All right, Josh, thank you very much.
Is there a happier fan base today than Reds fans hiring Terry Francona? What a great kind of stealth move by a dead franchise to go get, like, arguably what people think is, like, the greatest manager of this generation, man. That's a hell of a hire for them. They're introducing him now.
I think Kansas City's having a better day.
There's a lot of anticipation in Kansas City right now.
Yeah.
At least everybody in Cincinnati can kind of agree the Reds are making the right move. We got people here that are complaining. We're talking about the Royals on the Chiefs game day. So some people aren't having a good day.
Bills flopped, right? That's a tough one there. Joker 2 flopped. Not good there. Only made $40 million in its first opening weekend. Budget was $200 million.
Is that a flop then? $40
million,
huh?
For a $200 million budget? You're still out on $160 million.
You got a lot of other...
A lot of people said the movie sucked.
Did it? Somebody told me you got to go see it. I'm like, all right.
We got him? All right. Welcome to the show, Mr. Briscoe. How are you on this lovely Monday?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me. Chiefs win, Royals win. Talk to you guys next week.
All right, take care. That's all we need, man. That is all we need. How are you consuming tonight? I know you got all the SI stuff you got to get taken care of, but I mean, come on now. How are you watching the games?
Yeah, I'm still figuring out exactly how I'm going to do that. The Chiefs are going to have to get the full big screen, unless YouTube TV wants to give us the multi-view, like a Kansas City multi-view. I may try to make that happen. But I got to go Chiefs big screen, playoff baseball little screen.
Really?
I wouldn't begrudge anybody who's not in my exact situation to flip that.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to be able to talk to you guys about what the Chiefs are doing. I just learned about this Bobby Witt fella like 3 weeks ago.
So,
God.
But playoff baseball is so intense, and you're on the edge of your seat for every single pitch. And I think we all had that same mindset the first hour. We're all going to be dialed into the Royals. Then when the Chiefs kick off, people may switch the sound. I don't know if I'm going to be in that switching the sound mode. As of right now, my plan is to switch the sound when the Chiefs kick off. But if that's a compelling baseball game, which I think it's going to be, I'm going to have a hard time weaning myself off of that sound.
No, I think that's okay, too. I mean, yeah, listen, I have my own Monday Night Football announcing booth thoughts that goes back years now. And not to Joe Buck, frankly. I enjoy his work. But the level of playoff baseball, I would say, first of all, our heart health should be well tested by how the Chiefs have been playing their football games over the last couple of years. You know your blood pressure is going to be an issue, going to be a high heart rate night either way. So I think, you know, just plan to ride that wave, and then if the claws of playoff baseball get sunk into you as Monday Night Football's beginning, I think just stick with that. And, regardless of how this goes, we have less Royals left on the calendar than we do Chiefs games here. I think go ahead and wear your red and blue today. Start with baseball. I just got to make sure that I know, you know, if Xavier Worthy runs the wrong route, I gotta know about it, guys. I can't enjoy the pass block like that.
Right, you can't. So you don't like Troy Aikman, huh?
Yeah, so there was a thing several years ago where I may have mentioned that Patrick Mahomes had, like, I don't know what it was at the time, 40% of his passing yards in like 10% of the games.
Right.
And that was a podcast clip that went around. And then Troy Aikman came around and said, hey, well, why don't you call me when he has 33% of my Super Bowl ring?
Right.
I did the next couple months later, I think, at that point. Mm-hmm. And he never picked up. I haven't had a chance to talk to my dear friend Troy, but now he's at 100% of his Super Bowl ring. Mm-hmm. And I think, I'll tell you this, I don't think it's entirely my fault, but I think you can tell every once in a while on the call that Troy Aikman is not thrilled to be calling a game of a quarterback clearly better than he was, especially now that he does have these three rings.
Did you ever in your life think that you would live rent-free in an NFL former quarterback's head?
No, this was far more shocking to me than it could have been to anyone else in the planet. If it was anybody, I would have assumed Aikman, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, though, because Troy Aikman is heralded as a great quarterback, and you look at his stats, you're like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're all right.
That was part of it at the time, was like, wow, look at how incredible Patrick Mahomes is starting his career, his statistical output against a Pro Football Hall of Famer. And then it did sort of start that entire cycle of like, well, these numbers really aren't that impressive. Oh, well, those teams, boy, he sure did have a lot of weapons. Huh, maybe we should talk about this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the following years have brought many Troy Aikman-related jokes to my life.
No, and I think, too, as we move on from this, though, but the Troy Aikman gets worse as a quarterback as Patrick Mahomes' years go on. I mean, we could just kind of leave it at that.
That's
but like tonight, it's going to be interesting. What do you think they're going to do from an offensive standpoint? Because we all probably think they're going to try to, you know, run the ball with Rashee Rice and all that kind of stuff. You know they're airing it out on like the first play to Xavier Worthy.
I would love that. And for whatever the Chiefs are willing to do for Worthy right now, the first 15 is the time to do it, right? Like, go ahead and do the air stress test early on. See if you can get one of those big early shots to Worthy. Because I really do think, for both of these teams, frankly, being ahead in the game is a clear advantage. And that's usually true, right? But in this case, I think even more so. Because as the game goes on, Worthy led receivers in snaps taken last week. So this isn't like they're not willing to put him on the field. I'm not saying that he can't be trusted or that they don't like having him involved in the offense. But in terms of doing the every down receiver stuff that, no joke, they trust Justin Watson to do, to always be in the right spot and all
Watson,
those things.
Yes!
I would be a little bit surprised if we see Xavier Worthy getting 8 catches in this game. But a deep shot early on and then just leaning on Kareem Hunt like it's 2018, I think is a really good strategy for trying to get this game in control with minimal weirdness at this point. Of course, minimal weirdness is never the Chiefs' MO.
When you look at this game tonight, who's kind of the focus point for Josh Briscoe in this game? I know you just mentioned Xavier Worthy, but I kind of think this is one of those sneaky 1-2 games a year where you see Juju kind of give you a flash.
Yeah, offensively, I think it's Kareem Hunt getting a shocking amount of touches for a guy in his second game with the Chiefs. I think he's shown that he has earned that trust through one. And then I think Juju is the guy that I'm betting on as the greatest overall stock increase in Rashee Rice's absence. I think I said this with Cody and Gold on Friday. I can't remember. You know, we talk so much now, friends.
But
the Rashee Rice upgrade over Juju was to give him some extra yak ability in that role, and Rashee Rice brings that, the burst, the athleticism. Juju can still do some of the things like being where Patrick Mahomes wants him to be and being a guy who helps move the change and just keeps things a little bit looser here offensively. So I do like a Juju game here. On the other side of the ball, my like guy to watch in the entire game, the only guy who I think has as much impact on this game as anyone not named Patrick Mahomes, is Chris Jones. I know that is not a sneaky MVP, but Derek Carr, much like almost every quarterback, but especially Derek Carr, when he gets quick internal pressure, he becomes a different quarterback. If you give him time to survey and deliver, he can still sling it. I know his years in Oakland and Vegas has made us question how good of a quarterback he was, but we've seen the burst of this offense, especially through those first 2 weeks before they got tape of everybody from around the NFL. If Chris Jones is pressuring Derek Carr, if he's uncomfortable, the Chiefs defense, I think, is going to be the thing that wins this game.
Do you think this is the night where Derek Carr just says, I'm never playing an Arrowhead again? Thank you very much. Any other game scheduled here, I will be forfeiting.
I think he should do. I mean, isn't that what Aaron Rodgers did for the first couple of rounds at the State Farm Bowl? Like, I feel like dodging Patrick Mahomes, there are worse strategies.
Yeah, because Aaron Rodgers said COVID was fake, and then he got it and couldn't play against the Chiefs. I don't know. I'm just
somebody's lying here, guys.
Before we let you go, we have a segment at the end of the show. Is there an album off the top of your head that you have zero skips on?
Oh, boy. Childish Gambino's Because the Internet came out at a very formative time for me, and so I have probably gone front to back on that more than anything else.
All right, we'd love to see. What's your outfit today also, by the way? You going Chiefs shirt, Royals hat, or are you going something completely going like Dan Flashes? What are you doing today?
I do love a Dan Flashes. You know I do every radio interview in the nude, so
you
after
shut up,
this,
Doug!
I'm going to go red over blue today, I think.
Love it. All right, JB, we'll talk to you next week.
See ya, fellas.
See ya. See, he says fellas, not buddies.
Buddies.
That's right. Buddy! I got him on the buddy system. Shout out if you know that reference. 913-586-7965. On the other side, we continue to dissect what today is. It's all about you, the fan of Kansas City, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. I nailed that.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Moving right along. Here on Fesco and Dusty, Fesco, Likens, Maury, or Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Maury, nice to have you. Damn glad to have you on a Monday that feels like a Friday.
It feels like I don't know what. Like, it just feels like I'm ready for this to just be over for the day.
I mean,
give me the results of the game.
You're set up, man. You got a good Monday for this. Tuesday's your sex day.
Right.
Wednesday, yeah, you're halfway there.
I know.
And then Friday is your favorite day.
Friday's a great day, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
My wife runs the marathon this weekend in New York.
Really? Yeah. All right.
Chicago.
Let's get up for gin.
Yeah. Going to go do that marathon thing. And, you know, she's like, she goes, you're not going. I'm just going by myself. She's going to fly up, run the marathon, and fly back.
I thought
like,
of a good show bit if she's down to do it and you're okay with your wife joining the show.
I have no problem.
You know how we do the hot seat?
Mm-hmm.
I think she should do it, but coach-wise, but what she looks by in appearance. Because she's got a new name on her report.
On her new name on her port.
On her report. You know how Kevin O'Connell was attracting the eye?
Yeah, we're getting a new attractive person from Jen, yes.
Oh, who's
her top? Now it is Matt LaFleur.
Oh.
Well, she said his hair is a little too short for her liking, so don't shave the hair too short.
All right. Huh, interesting. We talked about Kevin O'Connell yesterday with her, and she didn't act like, she's like, he's very nice looking. But
maybe she's like that fifth grade girl over again, like has a crush for 1 week, and then the next week it's somebody else. Yeah. And then
all these young coaches now in the NFL, doesn't mean they're any good. But Kevin O'Connell, though, man, I'm
so
I'm
we
all
get
in.
We get Jen's hot seat, but okay. It's her top five hottest coaches.
I have no problem with that at all. Nice. Yeah, she could rank them.
I think Cotrero's kind of sexy.
Matheny was the sexiest.
Well, he was rated like the hottest manager in baseball.
Right, him and Ausmus were definitely, right.
But he was like shallow how you met him, and he wasn't attractive from the inside
right,
out.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Does that movie get made today?
No. A lot of movies don't get made today.
Yeah.
Hangover, Shallow Hal.
Seinfeld.
Ace Ventura.
Like, nothing gets made today. That's why no movies are doing good. Nobody goes anymore because you're like, eh.
I don't think, and I always go back to the Vernon Lundquist quote when Tiger Woods made the putt, like, in your life. And that's what kind of today is. Like, in your life, as a Kansas Cityan, as a fan of sports, of the Royals and the Chiefs, have you ever experienced anything quite like today?
No, you haven't. I mean, the only thing that's even comparable is the Patriot win that led to on to Cincinnati and then the wild card game the next day. And that is it. Where both teams have been top of the world and top of mind and in the national spotlight, because when the Royals were good in 14 and 15, the Chiefs were still playing at noon, right? So you've got yourself a situation that we haven't experienced before. And I think there's some negativity, as you had mentioned on the text line. I'm sure it's 90-10, right? We always tend to focus on that 10% negative versus the 90% positive, because you're looking at the 10% going, why are you the way that you are? Mm-hmm. And I really think the big reason is that people here at times just don't understand how to handle success because we haven't had it before. And I think maybe you go back to the New England Patriots when they won that first Super Bowl. And I remember being there when they won their first Super Bowl and seeing grown men in the media crying because they never thought that would happen, because Mm-hmm. Boston never experienced success before. The Red Sox were always getting beat. They traded Babe Ruth and none of their teams were doing anything. Then all of a sudden the Royals or the Patriots and the Red Sox started to have success at the same time. And then as the years went on, people kind of understood how to accept it and learn to accept and expect good things to happen. I still think there's a percentage of fans, and I don't know what the number is, that still believe something bad is going to happen. Instead of thinking that something good is going to happen, instead of thinking that Cole Reagans is going to go out there and dominate tonight, they're thinking, well, Cole Reagans will throw five innings and the bullpen will blow it. Or if the football side of things, well, the offense is only going to score 22 points, so we're going to need a late play to come up to even win this game. Like, there are people out there because of the lack of success that we've had. But the last 10 years should change that story. You should be expecting success when the Royals and Chiefs now step on the field.
Right. And I think today you should just enjoy what is today. I don't think you need to worry about dissecting the game at this moment. I mean, I'm not going to tell you how to feel. Obviously, you do your own thing, right? You do you, boo. But like for me in general, like today I woke up and I'm just like, you know, I was at it. Like I got up, was ready to go. Didn't like, you know, hit the snooze. Didn't drag across the carpet. Like, oh God, it's going to suck. Like it
was your dog.
I am a dog. You better believe that. Big dog. And D-A-W-G. But that's right. All right.
Who just barked?
I think it was Mac.
Is that Mac? Did you just bark?
I don't know, man.
But no, I just think today, like I was just driving into work and I'm like, man, do I stop at Quick Trip? No, I don't need to. I've got the Alani and the coffee. I'm good to go there.
I had to stop for gas. My wife took my car, left me with no gas.
Oh.
No gas. Who does that?
16-year-olds. Oh, I figured you'd fill it up, Dad.
Yeah, well, that's
coming.
Yeah, oh, Josh said that used to happen all the time.
Oh, yeah. I did it. I was a scumbag. I'd be like, hey, can I use your truck real quick? Yeah, and I'd come back. My car would be like, where's the car? My mom would be like, well, your stepdad took it because he knows you don't have any gas. I'm like, oh, bless him. Yeah. Praise be to Jeff.
So he would fill it up for you?
Yeah,
that was back when gas was like $1.79 a gallon. A lot cheaper back then.
Literally.
Yeah.
I've also noticed it's cheaper in Kansas than Missouri.
It is cheaper in Kansas now than Missouri.
Like, it was like $2.82 here, and then it was like $2.89 in Missouri. I was like, what the hell is
going Missouri on? They added in another tax or something like that to increase it. So now there's only really one reason for Kansans to go to Missouri.
Somebody from the text line brings up a question that I think is very good. If you could only have one win today, where do you take it? I think it's obviously the Royals.
Yeah, it's the Royals. Yeah, it's no question. It's
a loss
Royals.
For the Chiefs does nothing. I mean, it makes them 4-1. It makes you feel bad about the loss.
Drop in the power rankings.
But again, it's an NFC team, and you have such a massive lead over everyone that matters outside of Houston.
I mean, think about this, Dusty. After tonight's game, the Chiefs don't play for 2 weeks. It is going to be Royals, 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 unless it's not, right?
Right.
So that's why I think if you're going to say I could only have one, well, I'm taking the Royals win. There's no question because I do believe this is a must-win game. You don't want to come back 0-2. You just don't.
No.
Make your life easier, right? Come back tied at one. You only got to win two. Take both at home. It's over. Boom, and you move on. But this has got the opportunity now, after tonight's game with the Chiefs, to be two straight weeks of nothing but Royals conversation, because after tonight, the Chiefs have the bye week, and then it'll slowly build as we get to the end of the following week when they get set to take on San Francisco in a Super Bowl rematch, and Tom Brady will be there and everybody will be hyped about it. Mm-hmm. But the Royals have an opportunity, grab a win tonight, and then have 2 weeks of nothing but everybody talking about you in Kansas City.
If they win tonight, I think they win the series.
Well, yeah, I still think
so
they win the series.
So that's why the W for the Royals to me is massive.
It's huge. If they lose tonight, I don't know that they win the series.
Yeah, just enjoy the rest of the ride.
Yeah.
I think if they win tonight with Reagans and come back with Lugo, and then you can be like, all right, Walker, we're going to use you just like we did the other time. We're going to use you till we can. Then we're going to let this bullpen take over.
Yeah.
Their home record this year would indicate that they're obviously better at home. On the road, they almost went 500. And I think that when you put the perspective of what tonight means, like I understand that the odds are against them losing game one, but I didn't come out of that game thinking that they lost it completely. They did not pitch efficiently, though. Mm-hmm. They did walk a lot of batters.
Eight
batters. And, you know, yes, I can sit here and be, you know, a Cincinnati Drew Nixon fan where you can blame certain things and not blame yourself, which is, it kind of happens a lot. But, you know, that play at second was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it just so happened to be the outcome of the game, 6-5, that Jazz Chisholm scored on that. But look, I mean,
he's so fast. You knew if they put the ball in play, he was scoring.
Game is going to happen. Yep. And I knew that run was going to count. I knew he was going to score. As soon as he got on second, they didn't overturn the call. I said, okay, that run will score. I'm not saying that it'll affect the game at that moment, but it did eventually be the game-winning run. But the Royals didn't really go. They didn't really lose that game where the Yankees just were the Yankees. Like, there wasn't a ton of like moments where, you know, the Yankees went up 7-1 or something like that. It was, you know, the Royals were up, then the Yankees were up, then the Royals were up.
Oh, it was a great game.
Back and forth. The offense finally showed its teeth for once in the last, I don't know, month.
The bottom of the lineup was really good.
And that's
the thing
too, is that the bottom of the lineup showed up. Kyle Isbell was, you know, there. You had
MJ Melendez with a big home run. Again, if I'm him, when I hit free agency, I'm signing a one-year deal for the league minimum with the Yankees, hitting 40 home runs and then cashing in.
And if
I've never seen a ballpark tailored for some guy's swing like that.
And if I'm also him, I don't care the situation. I want you to swing out of your shoes every single time.
Every time.
Because if you pop it up to right, you might well get one out. If you hit a bomb, it's going to look majestic. It's going to be up in that upper tier where Brett put it off of Gossage. And the thing I think it's interesting about the Yankees and the Royals is that when you think about who the Royals are as opposed to who the Yankees are, like, their fan base will never, and I mean never, respect the boys in blue because they're just not you. They're not 20 plus win championship team. Nobody is.
Right.
But I think that there is a little bit of a shock value in that first game where the Royals, who they won't respect, just didn't go away. They were like that gnat that just like always is like that fruit fly. Just never go. You know you've hit it at least three times, but for some reason it doesn't go away. And that's the type of team, and that's the type of method that I love that the Royals have against the Yankees. Like, if Cleveland and the Royals play, there's a shared thing, right? Cleveland's never won a championship. The Royals and Cleveland always play each other. But like, when the Yankees or when the Royals go into New York and they just hang around, it tailors onto the fan base and to the team. It's like, come on, we're better than these guys. We have the money. Like, you look at the rosters and the money, the differential in the two teams. And that's why I think the Royals have such a massive advantage. And I don't think that loss was depleting. I think what that loss might have done, Bob, is done something that maybe that AFC championship game to the Patriots and the Chiefs lost. Like, we can play with that team. We know we can. Were there some unfortunates? Yes. Did we not score in the entire first half? Yes. Did the Chiefs and the Royals kind of have some similarities in that game where you play the big, bad, evil power at the time? Yes. And maybe that loss, Bobby Witt Jr. showing more emotion than I've seen from Bobby Witt Jr. outside of a celebratory emotional Bobby Witt Jr. getting that call, kind of standing toe-to-toe with the umpire saying like, hey, basically that was a BS call. It wasn't a strike. I get it. You got to swing. But there's a lot of similarities in that loss where I think this is one of those games that might have broken the Royals into 1,000 pieces just to build themselves back up together even stronger, come out tonight in New York where you know you can play, where you did play, and maybe be more efficient. And now you get to rest your team and everything on the shoulders of Cole Reagans, who's a bona fide stud and a certified G.
Well, he's one of your stars, and you know your stars got to be stars. And until your stars are stars, you're not going to win in the postseason. And that goes for the Yankees as well. If Aaron Judge has another 3 strikeouts, they're probably not going to win that ball game tonight going against Cole Reagans. And Cole Reagans is the best pitcher we've had in Kansas City since, I'm going to say it, since Brett Saberhagen. I don't really think, you know, Zach Greinke, yes, did win the Cy Young Award, but there was no team worthy of anything when Zach Greinke was here pitching for the Royals. This is the best bona fide starter that we've had, and in doing it in the postseason now since Brett Saberhagen. And Cole Reagans already has the one postseason game under his belt, which is good, and he was very good in that game against the Baltimore Orioles and limited them. But you know what? If the Yankees are going to lose this series, it's going to be because of Salvador Perez, it's going to be because of Bobby Witt, and it's going to be because of Vinny Pasquantino in that lineup. Those are the three guys that need to get going, because do you think Yuli Gurriel is going to score 3 runs again? Probably not. Do you think MJ is going to have another big night and Isbell's going to have another big night? Probably not. Nobody 7, 8, 9 in any lineup in baseball is usually relied upon. You still have to have your big dog step it up in the lineup, and you've got to score some runs tonight so Cole Reagans can truly get out there and relax. And the first inning, again, I think is going to be huge in this game. You're going to have the first opportunity. You're going to have the first opportunity to put pressure on the Yankees. And I love being the visiting team in the postseason, because you do have that opportunity to apply that pressure first. And we'll see what happens. If the Royals come out and score a couple of early runs in the first inning, what's Aaron Judge going to do? How's he going to handle that? How's he going to handle tonight's game, knowing that another postseason has started and he already has 3 strikeouts? And that's just in one game. The pressure each day mounts even more for Aaron Judge. And the more that pressure mounts, the worse he's going to do. And so I just love the fact that the Royals have an opportunity to score first, strike first, get an early lead, and then flip that table and put all of that pressure on the Yankees, because postseason runs, unless you're the Padres last night, are very hard to come by. You scrap them out and you get ahead 1-0, 2-0. You've given yourself such an advantage in a playoff game, and you can feel the tension in the crowd. You can feel the tension from the other bench. You can feel the tension on the mound, and that's what I would love today. I would love for the Royals to get an early lead and force the Yankees to play with a bleep ton of pressure and doubt. And the longer the game goes where Aaron Judge isn't doing anything, the more doubt creeps in, and the easier it's going to be to win this game. And then you come back to Kansas City, and it's the best of three, and you've got two of them here.
No doubt about it. Taking deep breaths throughout the day to kind of relax, kind of take
deep
a little
breaths
moment.
Do help.
They do. That's how I go to sleep every night, mm-hmm. a four-breath remedy. But I will say this. This weekend we were given something that you and I both love. Mac hates it. Maybe he doesn't hate it. But we got the early morning football game.
That was so good, right?
Like, I'm sure Mac was, like, prepping the last minutes of his fantasy football show, and then he's like, oh, wow, I get to kill this next hour by watching football.
Yeah, it was kind of nice.
Yeah. How great is that?
They're wonderful. They should be that way instead of Thursday night and Sunday night and Monday night.
Yeah, and I think, look, nothing would be better than the Royals to be up like 6-0 in the sixth and the Chiefs go up 21-3 at halftime.
Right.
Because then I can just like hit last on my remote and I'm okay with that. But like I'll still have the two TVs to start everything off. But like the thing that's crazy about that game is that you wake up on Sunday morning and like start to get your alerts of like, oh, so-and-so's actually active today. Like, oh, that's right. Green Bay and Minnesota play.
Yeah.
It kind of gives you a way to like, you know, have the coffee, enjoy the first game that you don't have a dog in the fight. Now I can understand where some people might be like, ah, it's not cool when it's your team.
I would love it.
I think it's even better.
Give me 8:30 every Sunday for a Chiefs game in the morning. I'm good to go.
Do you think that those ratings hurt?
I don't know. I think it depends on the teams. I'll be interested to see.
Jets, big pull.
Jets is a big pull. Minnesota's undefeated, but they're not the pull yet. The Jets are the draw on that one. I'll be interested to see. I'm sure not as big as a normal afternoon type of window, but I bet you they got 10 to 15 million people watching
because
that game.
We did this the other day where we said, you know, like, what's the best time slot for a game? Is it 7:40 or 7:15, 3:30 or noon?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's none. I think it's 8:30.
8:30. No question. Because you're done by noon, and then you got the rest of the day to do whatever it is that you want if your team played, right?
Right. And I mean, I think that's the other thing, too, is that, like, not only that, but there's still ways to enjoy football the same way that you enjoy that the game's at 7:30 or 3:30 or 12.
Yeah.
You just, you kind of like pivot around it. Like, instead of having, I mean, I guess you could still have steak, you do steak and eggs. You
right.
do, like, instead of doing barbecue, you do like barbecue omelets, you know, have that sort of
burnt
mix.
Burnt ends and eggs are really good.
Tell you what.
Let me tell you, get some burnt ends from Smokehouse, mix them with some eggs. You got burnt ends and eggs. Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a big, big fan on the barbecue omelet. Like, I've had people before when I used to work at Jack Stack, and they come in and they'd be like, yeah, I've only got like 3 burnt ends left. I don't need to take them. I was like, have you ever like cooked them the next day, like shred them up, mix it in the scrambled eggs, you know, pepper, onion, all that, made like a Kansas City omelet. And they're like, no. People came in like a couple weeks later, like, I took your advice, and now I will always take home food. I'm like, dude.
Absolutely. Yeah. Burnt end tacos are really good as well with egg, breakfast tacos, eggs, and burnt ends on a nice tortilla. Oh my God. Fantastic. Why aren't you taking home your food?
Now I'm getting hungry.
Yeah. So, no, 8:30 in the morning is the best game. Get best game time by far. Gets in the way of nothing. You get up, you enjoy the day, and then noontime comes, and you can go mow your lawn or do whatever it is that you want, or, you know, got the kiddos, or however you want to handle Sunday. But get that game over by noon. That's the greatest thing ever.
Because that game was on, what, NFL Network? Or was it on Prime?
It was NFL Network.
Yeah, NFL Network.
So, like, that's funny. They have a graphic up for the Chiefs game tonight, and it says, Derek Carr, Patrick Mahomes, this should be a good one.
No, it shouldn't.
Derek Carr is 1-8 at Arrowhead.
Who put that graphic up? ESPN?
SportsCenter. So, yeah, ESPN.
Okay.
But, yeah, Derek Carr is 1-8, 3-14 versus the Chiefs.
Right.
Are you more nervous about the Chiefs game or the Royals game?
Oh, the Royals.
For sure.
No question. Yeah. I mean, I'm not nervous at all about the Chiefs game.
Does Yankee Stadium rank in a place, in a top three places that you would hate to play in as a visitor? Because right now it's probably Dodger Stadium.
Well, just based on last night.
Yeah. In sports or in baseball?
Yeah, in sports.
Gotcha.
Like, you have an opportunity to go in as a visitor. What are the top three places you'd want to play?
How many places do you go into where the media asks you, what do you think about playing in?
Yeah, yeah.
Yankee Stadium. Mm. Arrowhead Stadium.
Madison Square Garden,
probably.
Lambeau,
for sure.
Fenway.
Wrigley. It's about it.
Do baseball stadiums trump the where you want to play over anything?
What do you mean by that?
Are there more baseball stadiums that people would want to play in than football stadiums?
Well, I think because you have Fenway and Wrigley that are still, 100 years
more
old.
History.
And the historical aspect of it. Yeah. But also, too, every baseball stadium is so unique and different and cool.
That's what I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like every baseball, a lot of the same in football. Like once the game starts, it's pretty much the same. Yeah.
Also, baseball is the only sport where the dimensions aren't equal across.
Yeah.
Like football, basketball, it's the same court, same field. Baseball, it's like, right field's 209 feet. In Coffin Stadium, it's 530 feet down the line.
Right, exactly.
And I mean,
us on that.
And you can't actually change that because then every team would need a new stadium.
Yeah. Exactly.
Boy, that'd be a good rule.
But I kind of like that for baseball, though. It's unique.
I hate it.
Different. And it's just, you got to take advantage. You build your team for your ballpark, as they like to say. And so.
Is it kind of the same that baseball differentiates the way that football has domes and bad weather? Like, it's tough to play in Buffalo and Kansas City, like in December and January.
Yeah, Buffalo's another one that I think it would be cool to play in.
Probably.
When they get the new stadium, I won't be as sold as much as the old one, but I think it's kind of cool.
Maybe Pittsburgh.
Maybe.
The history.
Yeah.
I think Yankee Stadium would be a top three destination as a visiting player.
About the places you go into and you go, wow, I'm at blank, right? Yankee Stadium's on that
Has
list.
To be on
it's,
that
it's,
list.
It's got to be number one if it's not, right?
That in Madison all Square
sports,
Garden.
Yeah. Like you walk in, you go, wow. And now it's different because it's new Yankee Stadium versus the old joint, that had 100 years of history.
Right.
But it's still Yankee Stadium. It's still the fans. I mean, I sent you guys the video of when I was a kid, leaving Yankee games was always a treat because you never knew what you were going to hear. You never knew what was going to happen. It was always just an event leaving the game. And the video I sent you, they're leaving Yankee Stadium and the entire Yankee Stadium crowd is chanting FMB'd. Why they're doing that, I don't know. But it was wonderful, and I'm like, that's a Yankee Stadium crowd right there. You just won a playoff game, and you're walking out, and you're chanting FMB'd.
That's funny. They do. I mean, they hate Philly. Embiid played at Kansas. I guess there's the connections.
No, I something must have happened with Embiid. I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden it just pivoted to FMB'd. Somebody just started yelling FMB'd, and the whole place just started going FMB'd. And I'm like, this is wonderful. This is leaving a Yankee game at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid's like, what did I do?
Yeah, he's been a heel, I guess, right?
Yeah, kind of, I guess.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Somebody in the text says soccer has different dimensions.
Yeah, I saw that.
What? Aren't all pitches the same and the goals are the same and midfield's the same? And if I'm missing something, please let me know. I'd like to be informed. But I thought soccer was all the same. Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought so too.
Somebody says Augusta. That's like an individual sport though. I mean, that's tough. But I mean, you think about what you could do as a visitor at Yankee Stadium. Like talk about George Brett last week.
Oh, I mean, you
hitting
just
a home run
shut
and just.
Think about it. Watch the game today when the Royals get that first run, how silent it gets. There's something cool about that.
Just eerie.
There's something Arrowhead and you score a touchdown, the place goes silent.
And
right?
You did it.
Yeah.
The team, it's great, but also the individuals, I just shut 70,000 people up.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, we get into our brioche of the weekend. Plus, we ask you a question on the text line 913-586-7965. That's Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. I'm Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be
having a great time,
you want to be
loving the fun,
you want to see all of the excitement, this is the place and we're the one. You want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see, come on out and join us, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to see
the best of the big leagues,
you want to be
loving the day, come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays.
This is where it happens. Come on and see.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Welcome back into 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you. We do have some sort of information on soccer.
Okay.
Soccer in Europe, they have different lengths and widths. 115 or 117 yards long can be within a 10-yard range on the width.
What?
So different leagues have different regulations, meaning every sport ever. Yeah.
But every like, if you're in the EPL, every field's the same in the EPL.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Just in the NBA, and then you go to the Europe, and then the 3-point's different in Europe. And then, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's okay. That's the same.
Okay, yeah.
Not like baseball. It's the same league. You're going to one park, different one, you know what I mean?
But you're still 90 feet between bases, 60 feet, 6 inches from the mound to home. I mean, that's all
there's
the same. It's just,
but,
you know. Mm-hmm. But you're not doing like in soccer. I think it would be different than baseball. Baseball doesn't bother me; it never has. But if I'm thinking soccer, I'm like, wait a second, Harry, you can't do that in soccer. You know, all of a sudden this feels better. We do have some breaking news and some odds. Next quarterback benched, as you'd mentioned, Jacoby Brissett officially benched. Deshaun Watson is the leader in the clubhouse, 2-1 odds. Ooh. Justin Fields, 3-1. Will Levi's, 4-1.
Watson, yes!
Daniel Jones, 12-1. Bo Nix, 16-1. Anthony Richardson, 20-1. Trevor Lawrence, 33-1. And Geno Smith, 40-1.
No, well, Geno ain't getting benched. But Seattle,
I don't think Daniel Jones getting benched either.
Seattle might be frauds, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we'll see.
Will Aaron Rodgers be back next season with the Jets? Plus money on yes.
Mm. Did you see how annoying he was about getting the play in? Like, you know, Pat always does.
Yeah, that was awful.
He's like, come on.
Yeah. Hey, since you put together the team and coached the team, call the play.
Yeah, he's like, come on.
God, he looked like a petulant child yesterday doing that, didn't he? I mean, that was just embarrassing.
Also, some other insight from the 816 in soccer. Some fields in pro leagues around the world are a bit smaller and approved by those leagues. However, FIFA has its own, you know, clarifications and stuff. The stadiums meet criteria, which is 120x80, which is the international level, and they will not allow a game. Hope that helped. Okay. Appreciate it. That was a mixed text. Let's get to our brioche of the weekend.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, good take.
That's right. Brioche of the weekend for yours truly. That touchdown dance by the Vikings defensive players. I don't know if you guys got the reference. It's from the movie The Parent Trap. Shout out Lindsay Lohan. A first love of mine. I still hope her success.
She looks good.
She did it for me.
She kind of faded away there for a while.
She needed to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's back, though.
Yeah, she's
Freaky Friday.
Never
kinda
saw.
Kind like Britney Spears faded away for a while, and now she's back.
I think she's still faded.
She should still be fading.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think she's kind of fading. I feel sorry for her, though.
Me too.
I think she needs help.
Yes.
Severely. I think she needs to put the phone down, the cameras down, just go get some help. But no, the Vikings dance. They did a dance for the Parent Trap. I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was funny. Original, new. Brioche of the weekend.
All right. I'm going to go in the same vein. Sam Darnold, I'm buying in, man.
Yes.
You know, for saw the ghosts when he was playing for the Jets, he made Aaron Rodgers look like a ghost in that game. 3 interceptions for Rodgers, but Darnold did what he needed to do to win that football game. His team's 5-0. There's no way you can now discount Sam Darnold as the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. He's playing some really, 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 really good football.
That warmed my heart, Bob.
He bought in on his worst start of the year.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah.
Because they won the game, man. That's all that matters. Exactly. You win a game, you figure it out. You iced that final drive and took care of business and got the job done, man.
No, he's damn good. He's a win with, not a win because of guy, but he's got the width around him. He's got Jefferson, a good coach. Yeah, I love it. For me, I'm going to different quarterback. Bob, you probably disagree. Caleb Williams, 2 300-yard performances in the past 3 weeks, and the connection with DJ Moore and Roma Dunze, it's there. I mean, that throw to DJ Moore in the end zone, a guy right on his right shoulder, I mean, boom, right over the top. It looks like the deep balls are getting there. It looks like he's kind of starting to figure out the offense, the system, no huddles. I'm liking it.
I saw somebody yesterday say, you can't say it's just Carolina because the quarterback is developing confidence. I agree with some of that, but again, it is Carolina.
I understand. 30 points.
You know, we'll see. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't discount it, but you can discount it.
Yeah,
continue to build
exactly.
on that.
Exactly, continue.
Don't use that as your high watermark, right?
No.
That needs to be the beginning of now taking off, so Bears fans don't sit around and go, okay, we've drafted now the wrong quarterback twice, which they may have either way. But
and it might be good for Caleb, and this might be just too deep thinking here, but it might be good for him, you know, everyone's looking at Jaden Daniels now. The Caleb Williams magnifying glass is kind of lightened up a bit because everyone's, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah,
hey, Caleb, and now he's just kind of getting a chance to be himself. They play, they host the Jaguars next week.
Should win that game as well.
Yes, they should.
Oh, how about the Jags, though, coming out on top with a nice win over the weekend?
Was it a nice win?
A win is a win.
Okay. If you want to feel old today, happy birthday, Priest Holmes. He turns 51.
Oh, God.
I know. Priest Holmes. First running back I fell in love with. Like, I mean, didn't know that fantasy football on Yahoo did Eastern times. So my first year I ever did fantasy football, I did not know. I thought it was an hour earlier or later, whatever the hell. And I got auto-drafted. And I got auto-drafted Trent Green, Priest Holmes, and Tony Gonzalez in the year 2002.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Went undefeated.
That's awesome.
Yep. Auto-drafted. Yeah. That's back before leagues were, you know, originated.
Yes.
But yeah, that was that year. And I got all three of those players.
Have you had a better run since?
Yeah, I went back. I went to three straight championships in my competitive league, won it back-to-back years, and then lost in the championship the next year. And I got really arrogant. I was like, if I win three in a row, I'll leave the league.
Did you?
No, I didn't win the third one in a row. And then it started a whole
controversy. I hope that's not a trend for what we're going to see here, though.
No. And then I had a question this weekend. Bob and I were just going back and forth on this. And there was a song that I pulled up. It was from Weezer's Blue album called In the Garage.
Right.
Because we were talking about, you know, certain stuff and what we would do and, you know, where you watch games stuff. And I was like, in the garage.
A lot of people deck out their garage this time of year, too.
Yeah. Perfect time to. You just open the garage door, get that nature's AC, that nice breeze in.
Put the fire pit on the driveway. I started the fire pit yesterday. You not going to lie. It's some brush I needed to burn.
You could start it tonight, too, if you wanted to.
I probably will. Yeah. It's very soothing and relaxing for
me. Right. And I thought a couple
And then
albums.
My friend Paul foisted this wood on me.
Foisted.
And he must to put something in it because it just smelled like pine.
Ooh.
And so I called him. I'm like, did you put something in this wood? Mm. I'm going to sue him.
Okay. But I thought about some albums that I don't skip any songs on. And I came up with a few. 913-586-7965. You can flood Cody and Goldshow with this answer.
Yeah.
I came up with Weezer's Blue album.
It's a great album. You're absolutely
1994,
right.
1994, top to finish. I mean, My Name is Jonas, the Sweater Song, Buddy Holly, In the Garage. The next one I came up with was Enema of the State. Blink 182.
For sure.
Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. Blink 182, that changed my entire life, that album did, just from start to finish. And then the other two were Rumors by Fleetwood Mac. There's not a skip on that album. And then Sob Rock by John Mayer that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah, those are some good ones. Immediately for me, Pearl Jam 10 came to mind. That was one where there's no skips. Nirvana, Nevermind comes out as no skips. Green Day Dookie comes to mind as well.
Yes, I was going
to
say that as well.
It's another great album. Thriller by Michael Jackson. You know, you start to look at the tracks on that thing. Like, yeah, I'm not skipping any of these. And so those are kind of the four that come to mind. Jimmy Buffett songs you know by heart. You can play from beginning to end and not have to have a skip on that one also. So there's quite a few out there. Like we were thinking about it. I'm like, can you do two hands worth of albums that have no skips in them?
And probably.
For sure.
Yeah, you get kind of close. You know, you do.
Does Bruce Springsteen have a no skipper?
Not really.
Not
for
a no skipper.
No, I was looking at Born to Run. I'm like, there's some.
I would say Darkness on the Edge of Town. There's not a skip on that one. I mean, there's a ton of just
Bruce Springsteen for me is like he's either rocking or it's a song you're like, meh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know? Makes sense.
I mean, you could say Born in the USA, but there's some songs in there I don't agree with that I like as much. But I mean, Darkness on the Edge of Town from start to finish is great because it's like that and Born to Run are like basically one big novel and they break in the middle. And like you could start here and then you could start at Darkness, go into Born to Run, and it's like all one story. But that's just me getting geeky on Bruce.
Yeah.
Boss Spector said, "Get Rich or Die Trying." Did not have that on my playing card.
Sorry, by who? I don't
50
know.
50 Cent?
Get Rich or Die Trying? Yeah, wow. Damn it. I would not have expected that.
That was Kramer's as well. Alex Gold says he has none. Doesn't listen to music.
No, Alex Gold probably hasn't. No.
And then Cody said the Chronic 2001 that's just also coming up on the
text. Did Alex really say
he didn't?
He goes, I don't have any. I don't really listen to music. But he listens to Bob and Dusty, as you
what
did today.
What the hell do you listen to?
And if you could listen to me for this, go do nice things for somebody today. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind, and join Cody and Gold on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Let's go, baby!